Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show on this Tuesday, August 3rd, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to have some special reports from Alex Jones. He's currently in Rome. We're going to have his report on the second fall of Rome. There's also a report about a eugenics museum that they saw in Spain. It was very difficult to get reports out while they were in Spain because Spain has, of course, enacted massive attacks against the First Amendment, a second Spanish Inquisition, if you will. Anyone who criticizes the government, anyone who criticizes the king, they are subject to jail sentences. You can't even take pictures on the street of things that you would see with Google Maps. Innocent things like churches, museums, that sort of thing. So we have a report about a Spanish museum that is promoting eugenics. That's going to be coming up in the very next segment. Of course, last night we had the first really debate, although you can't really call it a debate. It happened in New Hampshire. It was put on by some local New Hampshire media, although there were 14 candidates there. Donald Trump was not there. He was very wise to set this debate out. It was amazing format. If you listen to some of it, if you were able to stay awake through this format, it was incredibly slow-paced, dull. But we do have some interesting contrasts in some of the things that people said. If you pull some of these things out and listen to them, it should wake you up as to what is really going on in this country. For the most part, I'll just sum it up by saying that if most of these guys who are senators, when they're running, they want to talk about how necessary it is to track and watch everything that you do, to create an Orwellian police state because, well, you know, they're just protecting you against all these massive plots that are constantly erupting everywhere that the FBI is actually creating. Now, if they are a governor, they're going to tell you that they single-handedly created millions of jobs in their state while cutting taxes. That's the standard thing. And what they will wind up doing, once they're allowed to actually have a debate, they will fight amongst themselves as to who can do the most espionage, who can start the most wars, who had the best economic record as governor. That's just basically the way this is going to go. However, the loose cannon on Thursday is going to be Donald Trump. He will, I think, make it very interesting. And perhaps he'll shake things up that there'll be a real, genuine debate on some issues. We can certainly hope so. I look forward to seeing that, even though, as I've said before, I have grave misgivings about some of the things and business practices that Donald Trump has done, which would keep me from supporting him in any way, shape, or form. It's still interesting to have that debate on policies. And I think we have some articles today that are going to show how important it is for people to take action at a local level. Now, certainly in this debate, and we'll talk about that debate, we'll have clips of it. There's also some other news articles that are coming out that I think are very interesting. We're going to have Doug Hagman, who is going to be joining us in the third hour of Hagman and Hagman. We're going to talk about what's going on in the Middle East. We're going to talk about what's going on with ISIS. ISIS in the Middle East, ISIS perhaps in the United States. How about the United States and ISIS? How about us helping them, creating them, training them, being there? We see yesterday we had articles talking about how British special forces, the SAS, were dressed up as ISIS fighting in Syria because the objective has always been a war by the West against the Syrian president to take down Assad. They have tried everything they could to get a declaration of war, to get the people with them, and now they're just going on with a secret war that is escalating. We're not going to talk about the increased cost of civilian deaths in that area. But let's just take a look for a moment at our beloved Saudi Arabia allies. Now, of course, they're having a massive war in Yemen. Nobody cares about the massive civilian deaths that are going on there or even the reason. But here's just the headlines. Think about these two headlines. Saudi Arabia is on track to beat their annual record of 192 beheadings. That's far more than the ISIS total, even if all the ISIS were real. And then this one. A Saudi king finally leaves the French Riviera beach and allows it to reopen with his entourage of 1,000 people. Stay with us. We'll be right back with a report on a eugenics museum in Spain.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host on this Tuesday, August 3rd, 2015. We're going to have Doug Hagman with us in the third hour. We have several reports from Europe from Alex Jones and crew who are there. Alex is in Rome right now. Coming up right now, we have a special report from Spain. This is a report that Alex directed, that Rob Dew narrated. This is from Valencia, Spain. It's a museum that promotes racist eugenics. Here's that report.
Infowars.com left Barcelona and traveled to Valencia, which we heard was the heart of corruption in Spain. Valencia is one of the largest and busiest ports in Spain, and that and tourism make up two of its largest industries. Valencia is also home to the City of Arts and Sciences, which is made up of several buildings of extremely interesting looking architecture. Here we see Le Hemispheric, and if you look at it at night from the large reflecting pool, it looks like a giant eye. It is actually a planetarium. There is also the very large Museum of Prince Philip, which was designed to look like giant dinosaur bones. Then there is L'Agora. That looks like a giant breaching whale. It is an indoor amphitheater and sporting arena. And the El Umbreco, which is essentially a two-level parking garage topped off with a forest of palm trees. Very beautiful, very unique indeed. This is one of the main tourist attractions in Spain, and on their website it says, "Science, nature, and art in a complex devoted to scientific and cultural dissemination in Europe, placed in Valencia." Inside the Museum of Prince Philip, I found many exhibits and promotions dedicated to the European Agency of Space, which is Europe's version of NASA. There's also a very large pendulum and a giant DNA helix. The second floor is devoted to the scientists who helped make a lot of our scientific discoveries in the 20th century. One of which is a placard dedicated to Bertrand Russell, a known eugenicist. His placard reads, "Three simple but irresistible passions have governed my life: a longing for love, the searching for knowledge, and the unbearable pity for the suffering of humanity." That's right. Bertrand Russell cares so much about humanity, he also said this. Here is a clip from Endgame.
"Gradually, by selective breeding, the congenital differences between rulers and ruled will increase until they become almost different species. A revolt of the plebs would become as unthinkable as an organized insurrection of sheep against the practice of eating mutton." Bertrand Russell.
H.G. Wells, Aldous Huxley, Bertrand Russell, and hundreds of other eugenicists constantly bragged about how the establishment believed themselves to be a separate, more advanced species than the common man. Top eugenicists were bold enough to admit that their real goal was not improving the heredity of the commoner, but to further dumb them down so that they could be more manageable. Nobel Prize winner Russell wrote at length about how vaccinations filled with mercury and other brain-damaging compounds would induce partial chemical lobotomies and develop a servile zombie population.
"Diet, injections, and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable, and any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible." Bertrand Russell.
And when I got to the third floor of the museum, I found its true dirty secret. It is set up to condition the public that genes and chromosomes are meant to be manipulated by scientists. Here you can see these large gene sequences depicted as a chromosome forest. These exhibits are meant to condition the public that science and scientists always have the public's best interest in heart. But if you look at the writings of Bertrand Russell, you will see it's completely opposite to freedom and liberty. So here in Valencia, people are being educated and conditioned that eugenicists have their best interest at heart. But slowly, the veneer of the elites is being lifted. Most people know that Planned Parenthood was founded by racist eugenicist Margaret Sanger. And contrary to their mission statement, which is promoting women's health, we now see executives haggling over the price of baby parts.
It's been years since I've talked about compensation, so let me just figure out what others are getting at. If this is in the ballpark, and that's fine. If it's low, still low, then we can talk about it.
You would.
I want a Lamborghini. I said I want a Lamborghini.
And now we have John Walsh, a man who helped find missing children after his own son was kidnapped and brutally murdered. Now he is going after mothers who refuse to vaccinate their children. It's like the IMF saying Spain is on the way to economic recovery. But if you talk to the Spaniards, you get a different story. 4 out of 5 believe the economy is in the same or worse state as the last few years, and over half don't believe anything will improve in 2016. In addition, there's a massive number of people who are about to come off their 2-year unemployment benefits, and most of those people are middle-aged. And 1.5 million Spaniards rely on soup kitchens as their sole source of food. And this is coming from Spain, a country that recently passed a series of draconian free speech laws. You can't take pictures of police, criticize the King of Spain, and a man was recently fined for calling police slackers on his Facebook page. Next, InfoWars is traveling to Rome, Italy, which is being mired in corruption. It is said the mafia controls the local government, where recently a knifeman shouting Allah is great forced a tourist to her knees with a blade at the Roman Colosseum. Rest assured, Alex Jones will be reporting live from the Roman Colosseum. This is Rob Dew reporting for InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv.
And again, we're going to have some more reports from Alex Jones in Rome today. And we're going to have Doug Hagman joining us in the third hour. Now, last night, as we mentioned in the last segment, there was a debate in New Hampshire, the very first debate. It did not have Donald Trump in it, and it really wasn't much of a debate. It was really pretty amazing. As I tweeted out last night, they managed to make the candidates as well as the issues look very, very trivial. Here's how the New York Times pointed it out. They said there were uneven performances in the Trumpless Republican forum. They say Jeb Bush stumbled through a familiar question about his brother and his father. Well, actually, what they asked him was, what's the difference between you and W? And he couldn't think of anything really to say, because you know what? There really isn't any difference. He said, well, we have a little bit of our differences here, but you know, my dad is just great. You know, the dad who said, read my lips, no new taxes. And then when he enacted the largest tax increase we'd ever had at the time, and the journalist questioned him on it, he was jogging, and he said, read my hips, and ran off. That guy. That's the guy he thinks is great. Now, he may think he's great as a father. I certainly don't think he's great as a president. And, you know, when you look at the difference between W and Jeb, remember that they both helped to kill a disabled woman in Florida. Killed by a probate judge, Terry Schiavo. How's that for compassionate conservatism? She had a husband who wanted her taken off of life support. She had a family who said they would take care of her. Nevertheless, a probate judge says, no, you're going to be taken off. Arrested Christians who tried to give her water and food. Many people said she was able to communicate with them. The governor of Florida, Jeb Bush, would not lift a hand to stop that probate judge from slowly starving Terry Schiavo to death. Neither would the president at the time, his brother. We also had some other admissions from Chris Christie. Kind of awkwardly, they said, am I washed up? Because the guy was asking him, do you think you missed your window of opportunity in 2012 when you didn't make it? You're running again. And that was his admission. Of course, we had Lindsey Graham come out and really go for the jugular with the Clintons, bringing up the fact that Bill had lied about having sex with a woman. Mr. Graham said, when Bill says I didn't have sex with that woman, he did. And I guess that's just because it's so amazing to Lindsey that anyone would have sex with a woman. But didn't really talk about the fact that he committed perjury, just talked about the fact that he was unfaithful to Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, the Democrats, who's leading candidate at this point, looks like she's liable to be indicted. they're looking at the CEO of Starbucks. That's how desperate things are on the Democrat side. As the New York Times pointed out, this format that they had in New Hampshire seemed to shrink the candidates. Absolutely. They said they looked at times like they were being forced to sit through a tedious school assembly. They would call them out one at a time from backstage and have them sit in a chair, extremely slow-paced, extremely boring. And one of the things that was really kind of funny and creepy at the same time, they had this breathless female announcer as they would take their seat on the stage one at a time next to the people who were talking to them. This female announcer would give little snippets of their background, one or two things about them, and it, you know, or their hobbies or interests. You know, it sounded like a beauty contest, which really was what it was. I really expected them to introduce one of these candidates and say, "Well, you know, this is Lindsey Graham. He likes to knit sweaters and do Sudoku puzzles. Here he is," because it was just about that relevant. We're going to have some clips from that. That I do think there were some relevant things to look at and discuss that were mentioned in that. But the format itself and the way the government operates itself is something that is worthy of comment. The fact that, as I mentioned in the last segment, all the governors are just going to debate each other as to who created the most jobs. No, you just get out of the way. The private sector creates the jobs. You can lower taxes, you can get out of the way, but they love to have these debates. That's what they're going to be debating about. And then the senators like to talk about how experienced they are in terms of warfare, in terms of government surveillance, how they can jack up the police state, except for one. And we're going to show you that contrast later on in the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more reports and with our guests. We'll be right back. Alex Jones Show on this Tuesday, August 3rd, 2015. I'm David Knight, and we have a special for you. I want to tell you before we get back to the news, we're going to talk about economic news. Alex Jones, of course, is in Europe looking at the situation there, the globalist takeover of Europe, as well as the economic crises that have already happened, that are continuing to happen. And we have a story up at Infowars.com, crashing. Apple, Twitter, oil, commodities, Greek stocks, Chinese stocks. The month of August has started off with a bang. We're going to talk about that and what's behind that. But before we do, I want to let you know that one thing that's come down you can be glad about, and that's the price on B12. We have a flash sale, a 24-hour sale, 30% off of Secret 12 Vitamin B12 formula for 24 hours. You can get that at InfoWarsLife.com. And again, they have extended the free shipping for the month of July through this week. So right now you can get Secret 12 by InfoWarsLife.com. It contains two of the most bioavailable forms of B12. It uses our proprietary technology. It uses nutraceutical-grade B12 and is taken by mouth, so you have no needles, no injections. That's a huge plus. If you want to get nutraceutical B12, this is one of the few ways that you can get that quality of B12 without having injections, but it gives you the same nutrient beneficiaries, except you don't have to get that injection. Again, for 24 hours, 30% off, free shipping on that, as well as everything at the store at InfoWarsLife.com. Free shipping for everything at the store. Now, getting back to the economics, and we've got another report coming up from Alex Jones, filed from Rome, the second fall of Rome. But everything is falling right now. Many people, we just had a investor calling us from Germany yesterday, talking about how concerned he was about the next couple of months. We've had one economics analyst after the other on the show talking about how concerned they were about what might happen this fall. It has already begun in the month of August. This is an article from Michael Schneider that is up on InfoWars.com, and he goes through these things one at a time. First one, of course, is Apple. He says this is really more of a correction than a crash, but Apple stocks are down nearly 11%. Which places the stock into a correction area. Twitter is 58% below their peak in January of 2014. Of course, the Greek government, as reported, opened up the stock market yesterday, and it collapsed essentially. The bank shares plummeted 30%, they said, before loss limits kicked in to automatically stop investors from selling any more. The index was down 16.2% for the day. That's the first day they've had trading for a couple of weeks. They said it was the worst daily performance since 1985 when they began taking records, including a 15% fall when Wall Street crashed in 1987. Worst day they've had since they started taking records in Greece. And again, there's Puerto Rico. I'll have a little bit more information about that. As he points out, it is America's Greece. And we're going to talk about what happens. There's a couple more articles about Puerto Rico just by itself. China, for example, a 13.5% decline during the month of July in Chinese stocks. Many people are concerned that it's not just the stock market collapsing from massive margin calls, but maybe there's fundamental problems with the Chinese market. You think? I mean, Gerald Celente pointed this out when I talked to him at the end of the year. He said, look, nobody is talking about the overinflated real estate market and other issues that are happening in China in the United States press. He goes, you can see it all in the Chinese press, but nobody in Wall Street, nobody in New York or the mainstream media is talking about it. Now we're starting to see that. And then, of course, there's oil and commodities. In the months prior to the financial crash of 2008, the price of oil crashed hard. Now it's happening again. In July, the price of oil plunged 21%. See, it's falling demand. The reason that the price of oil is falling so rapidly is because Saudi Arabia has not cut production, even though demand has collapsed for oil. And that collapsing demand, which is reflective of a collapsing economic situation, is also reflected in other commodities. He points out, we see the Bloomberg Commodities Index now at a 13-year low. Copper is down 28% for the year. Tin is down 30%. Nickel is down 44%. And on and on and on. So Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico officially defaulted yesterday. The first time that's happened. They paid only $628,000 of a $58 million debt. $58 million, and they paid about $500,000. Less than 1% of the debt that was due on Monday to creditors. Here's the interesting thing they point out. The debt is mostly owned by ordinary Puerto Ricans through credit unions, so it's hitting ordinary people especially hard. It's not just the big bankers who are getting hit by this. They talk about people who have come, one particular guy who's immigrated with his wife to Austin. He worked for the government, but there are those who cannot leave. Those who have businesses, they are tied there. They don't have any way to get that money out of there or to get themselves out. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Built in 126 AD on top of a previous Roman temple, the Pantheon is one of the most famous structures in the world and influences much of Western culture and civilization. When you go to Washington, D.C., you run into many, many, basically, copies that have been inspired by this structure. And, of course, you can see a captured obelisk from Egypt from back in Roman times. And then once the Christians took over Rome, they stuck a cross on top of it. So culture built on top of culture. And we've run into a lot of listeners while we've been here, so that's certainly exciting, showing people aren't awake. Just had a fella walk over just a moment ago, but you can see the Egyptian inscribed, carved, and the hieroglyphs on the stone with the cross, and then there it is. And the reason this building is so important is that it's the only Roman structure, from what I've read, that remained basically 100% intact during the second main sacking of Rome and the final sacking in 410 by Alaric, the Visigoth chieftain.
they brought a lot of Germans and people in, not as slaves in the last few hundred years of the Roman Empire, but basically as citizens, and then even let them get on welfare. And then so more of the Germans came, more of the Gauls came from France, until they had no respect for Rome and just came in and took it over. That's why you hear historians say the United States and many other Western governments are repeating what happened to Rome. They also debased their currency. And by no means am I a historian. I'm just going off the basic history of this. But ever since I was a kid watching PBS and reading books, I marveled at this structure because so much, again, of Western culture is based on it. The beautiful architecture, the capitals on top of the pillars, simply amazing. Now, this is a church, so they have loudspeakers. Some people shh every few minutes, but we'll see if I'm entering it while people are loud or when they've already been shhed. Here we enter the big arches. You see the domes on most of our capitals, again, copies of this. This is still one of the largest solid domes in the world. You see this archetype repeated in like Superman when they send him to the Phantom Zone. The dome opens and it shoots through the hole in the roof. It's based on this. This was originally a temple to Roman gods, and they had Roman gods in these different niches. They were removed, and Christian saints were put in their place. But this dates back to the founding of the modern Christian church here in Rome, and of course St. Peter. InfoWars, traveling the world, trying to look at history so that we're not doomed to repeat it. And you have a lot of Christian symbols. This is the original marble. Oh, the key point I haven't gotten to yet. Why is this the only Roman structure that stayed completely intact? That's because when the Visigoth chieftain Alaric walked through that door after sacking the rest of the cut of the northern part of the country and Rome itself. Back then it wasn't a country. Italy was just held and controlled by Rome like all the rest of the countries. When he walked through that door and walked to this point here in the middle, he was so stunned with his chieftains that they believed this actually was the abode of the gods. And it was the only structure they didn't burn or loot to the ground. Because imagine walking through those doors when they'd grown up in thatch-hutted villages in Germany and in what is Austria today, coming in here and seeing this and witnessing it as the city burned outside around them and as the women were drug off into slavery, as the men were killed, and as Rome ceased to be a Roman city and became a Germanic city. Then history repeated yet again, and it became a city held by different invading armies through the next few hundred years as well. But Christianity prevailed through it all. You can criticize a lot of the forms of it that were here, but at least some of the culture was passed on today and is now still the dominant maxim here. And I love how there's fascist stuff mixed in with it. When I say fascist, I don't mean Mussolini that started the fascist movement that Hitler picked up on and Franco, but the symbol of the imperial government with the eagle, with the fasci, the bundled sticks held and bound by its feet, and of course hatchets on the end. So you've got still some of the Roman imperial symbols mixed into here. We are having highly produced HD pieces that we're putting together that get into how world government's emanating now more and more out of Europe, and how the Vatican was behind the EU, and there's no doubt now that the new Pope is announcing world government and world carbon taxes. So we're going to be having special reports on that and a lot more. But here we are in this historic site. Alex Jones signing off for now at InfoWars.com. More reports coming. Please stay with us and spread the word to your friends and family.
And again, as Alex mentioned, we have HD reports that are on their way. If you didn't see that first, if you're not watching this broadcast live, but if you're listening to it, you need to see that very first broadcast. Amazing video footage out of Spain. That museum, not only is the content interesting, but the footage is stunning. There's going to be more of that. We have a report coming up later on, but you do need to see those those reports. There's a lot of video content in them. Now, in a update on a story we started covering yesterday, remember we talked about how it was last week that a North Carolina congressman introduced a bill to have Boehner vacate the speakership. And everybody just kind of scoffed at it and said, it's going to go nowhere. We didn't hear anything about it for a few days. And then what we learned yesterday was that they were going to initially bring this thing up for a vote, and they were going to shut it down right away. But that didn't happen because they started checking around, and they found that it was very likely that John Boehner was going to get thrown out of the speakership. And now we have some more updates to this. I put this under the category of what the Germans call Schadenfreude, kind of a dark joy. I like to see John Boehner twisting on the end of this rope, and he's going to be there for several weeks as they're on August recess. They wanted to clear this thing out of the way. But now here's a report from WND. They say Boehner may have to cut a deal with Nancy Pelosi to save his job. See, that's one of the reasons why Boehner is in trouble, because he's been cutting deals with the likes of Nancy Pelosi and the people that they both work for. He hasn't been doing what the voters sent him to do. He has repudiated the results of this election. He refuses to do anything that the Republican base wants him to do, and he's become very punitive about the people who actually do try to represent their voters back home. Those people get thrown out of committees. So here's what they say on WND. They say the House just went into August recess, but Capitol Hill is abuzz with political intrigue over the fate of one of the most powerful men in Congress, Speaker John Boehner of Ohio, whose hold on power suddenly became in serious jeopardy. They say the questions of the hour are, what will Boehner do to keep his job? Will he cut a deal with the Democrats to stay in power? If so, what would he give them? Now, here's how this breaks down numerically, and I find this interesting as an update. They look at the fact that his speakership hangs on just 5 votes. Here's how that math breaks down. 218 votes would be needed to oust him. If all 188 Democrats voted to oust him, conservatives would need only 30 Republicans to vote to oust him. 25 Republicans have previously voted to remove Boehner. So you see, they've already had 25 people vote to remove him. They only need 30 Republicans to do it, and they need a solid Democrats to do that. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. They say 30 to 60 conservative House Republicans already often vote against Boehner to varying degrees. And here's what former Congressman Steve Stockman said. He said the speaker will cut a deal with Nancy Pelosi as he has done in the past. This is nothing new. And he said House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi may try to exact a high price for this, of course, because she knows how desperately he needs some Democrats to defect. Then that brings up the issue, is that if he's seen dealing once more with Democrats, going against conservative voters' wishes, that may cause him to lose even more Republicans as he picks up some Democrats. So, what was that movie? We're in a tight spot now. I'm a man in constant sorrow. That's what we need to have with Brother, Where Art Thou? That's what I was trying to remember. Just as they were in the barn and it was being set on fire and they said, we're in a tight spot now. Well, you know, that's John Boehner. He's up in his house. They have set the Republican house on fire and he may need to vacate his seat. They point out, this is a quote from Meadows, the North Carolina congressman. He said, it's not just me. He said, it's a number of people who vote their conscience and then they're punished either in a direct or an indirect way for doing so. It really thwarts their efforts to represent the people that have sent them to Washington to vote on their behalf. See, Boehner is the perfect crony capitalist. I say what they need to do is, if he's going to tell people it's going to be my way or the highway, tell him, take the highway. Take it back to a retirement home where you can play golf, John Boehner. And I think, as I said before, this is something that Democrats, as well as Republicans and independents, can all get behind. And I think we all should do what we can to try to get John Boehner out of the speakership. Now, Alex Jones is going to be joining us in the next segment. He's going to be calling us from Rome. He's going to be calling us live. We have some updates on some surveillance issues. This is a very interesting story. Italy cracks the mafia sheep code to arrest the Godfather's henchmen. You see, it's not just black hats and white hats who are fighting back and forth over encryption. There's also black sheep and white sheep in this ancient story. It's something that reminds us that, of course, people have done various things and during war, and of course they are at war with the government, the mafia are. During war, during other times, people will come up with any kind of ingenuity to encode things. But people also do it for privacy. Let me just give you this story here. This Italian police on Monday arrested 11 suspects linked to the fugitive head of a Sicilian mafia. Now, this guy is very old. He was once very powerful. He's no longer very powerful. That's one of the reasons that they got to him. But the way they were passing information back and forth, they said it's an age-old method of Pazzini. Bits of paper that contained messages written in cipher. Now, these were not sophisticated ciphers like we saw with the Enigma machine in World War II or since. He doesn't have a heavy-duty encryption. What they would do is put things like, I've got the ricotta cheese aside for you. Will you come by later? Or the sheep need shearing. The shears need sharpening. Or the hay is ready. And they'd already agreed as to what that was going to mean. Very simple encryption. That sort of thing has been done all the time. But now, of course, our government is looking at backdoors of encryption. And we've got, of all people, Michael Chertoff warning us about this. Michael Chertoff, the first head of Homeland Security after the Patriot Act was passed. Then he goes on to work for the people that gave us those wonderful TSA x-ray machines. He made a lot of money doing that. Now he's moved on to the other side, apparently, to some degree. He's now become a lobbyist for tech companies who don't like the constant spying. So Michael Chertoff says this, and it's the truth, but it's amazing to hear it coming out of his mouth. He says, it's a mistake to require companies that are making hardware and software to build a duplicate key or backdoor. We do not historically organize our society to make it maximally easy for law enforcement, even with court orders, to get information. No, we're reordering our society to make it maximally easy for those who are in the military-industrial complex, like Michael Chertoff, to make money. But, of course, our privacy, if you're going to shake people down with the machines that he built, if you're going to shake people down with the administration that he served, the Patriot Act, Homeland Security, we shouldn't be surprised that it takes this tack. Now, he's absolutely right. We should not make it our first priority to see how easy we can make it for law enforcement. That's not the way society should be organized. However, that's the way FBI Director James Comey wants it organized. He says encryption threatens to lead all of us into a very dark place. Justice may be denied because of a locked phone or an encrypted hard drive. And I've just been informed that we do have Alex Jones on the phone. He's calling in from Rome. Thanks for joining us, Alex.
Yes, David, calling in to file my report here today. Thank you for sitting here watching you via Skype right now, doing an excellent job. And again, I'll be back this Sunday for the audience. I want to say great job to the crew there in Austin, Texas, and yourself. But again, Alex Jones reporting from Rome, Italy. And of course, we're going to be filing some more reports tonight and tomorrow, video reports at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. But looking at world news, looking at the big developments, I just want the audience to know that we're going to be focusing pretty much exclusively now, after doing some historical background, breaking down the tyranny of the EU, on the metamorphosis of the Vatican, undoubtedly into the heart of a world government tyranny-promoting machine. We've seen nothing or heard nothing from the Jesuit Pope about the Planned Parenthood scandal. We have only heard about communism and socialism being wonderful and carbon taxes being wonderful and the EU being wonderful and, you know, the rest of it, and just, you know, basically how wonderful it is to have different groups, different lifestyles being able to marry each other. So they're replacing our real rights with all of these synthetic rights. But I wanted to just put this in context for everyone. If you look at the video that's up on Infowars.com, I know you're going to be covering more in the next hour, fifth Planned Parenthood video, official brags the whole bodies of babies are just a matter of line items. And notice it doesn't matter if a judge puts out a gag order. You're involved with the murder of children and their bodies being sold. The information can and will come out. Nothing will stop the signal. These corrupt elites aren't better than us. They aren't invincible. We've just laid down and let them take control. And so now they're running amok. Now they're running wild. Now they're falling to their center of gravity, which is total oppression. But when you go and watch this video, they talk about how whole bodies can be delivered. And that's what they don't want to be released, is the next video of them behind closed doors reportedly vivisecting the babies. When we come back, we'll ask the question, how could we become this evil, this brutal, this out of control? We'll answer that question and tie it into the video. It's coming up in the next hour, where Democrat Obama supporters call for banning the Bill of Rights. This is a cult of evil, wicked, stupid scum who loves tyranny. Again, if you're tuning in on this worldwide Tuesday transmission, I'm coming to you with a truly international broadcast from the ancient city of Rome in Italy under EU occupation. And, of course, David Knight's there hosting the main transmission from the InfoWars News Center in Austin, Texas. And David will be taking back over in the next hour. I'm going to introduce and start playing the Mark Dice video at 8 after next hour, the latest video, where he goes out and talks to well-spoken, focused people. And they respond and say, yes, we can't have people getting in the way of Hillary. We've got to ban freedom. We've got to ban the Bill of Rights. So you have to understand, this is a cult of nobody control freaks who worship at the flame of tyranny. And we've seen this over and over again in history, in Mao's China, in Hitler's Germany. These people are deadly, vicious, and dangerous. And they will sit back, as your, in my view, as your home, as your family are conscripted. They will sit back as you are press ganged. They will sit back as you were enslaved. And we know they'll sit back as millions of babies are killed a year, hundreds of thousands of them after the 7 month or well into the third trimester that starts in the sixth and a half month. And they are selling their full bodies. They are selling their organs. This has been well known for decades. We've covered it in films, but finally it's got the public's attention. And so the Democratic Party's response, another story on InfoWars.com, is that the Democrats who voted against defunding Planned Parenthood never even watched the expose videos, because when they get asked about it, they say never saw it. Well, that's like saying you never saw your neighbor raping your daughter. No, you knew it was going on, just for some reason you let it happen. So this is their plausible deniability. Oh, we don't know about world government. We don't know about the stock market being fixed. We don't know about the LIBOR rates being fixed with the interest rates. We don't know. We didn't know glyphosate grows tumors like the equivalent of Miracle-Gro for plants. That's basically what it is. It's tumor, Miracle tumor grow. We didn't know fluoride brain damage. That's just why you put it in the water and admitted it back in the 40s. He went to Nuremberg, heard the Nazis talk about it. They got it from the Russians. They said, hell, let's spike these people's water. That'll make them behave. And it sure has. It sure has. I mean, we are in a science fiction movie with a wrecked, dumbed-down population foaming at the mouth, begging for tyranny. And if you go to the Colosseum in Rome, I got a nighttime tour last night. I got a lot of powerful footage that's coming out. And you think about, for 500 years, the human sacrifice, that's what it was. It started with ritualized battle. When a rich Roman would die, they'd have his slaves kill each other. And it built to where sometimes they had thousands of animals a day, elephants, tigers, lions, extinct species of bear. They extincted scores of species of cats and large bears and other animals in Europe, just supplying the Colosseum that was the television, that was the entertainment, the bread and circuses of the day. And we all know that. We all know it's bread and circus, but this is how you lose your soul. When I look out at the Italians, or I look out at Americans, or I look out at anybody, they have lost their souls to entertainment, to pridefulness, to self-centered behavior, and the world has been stolen from us while this happened. But nature abhors a vacuum, and we are being judged because now that the bottom has fallen out and nothing can stop tyranny worldwide, because tyranny's gotten in all the positions of power, it's going to get so bad the world is going to marvel. And it's our job to be there explaining why it happened, explaining historically the rules, explaining the rules of the system, explaining the rules of time, explaining why we're in hell, why we're losing the prosperity, why we're degenerating, why we're dying of cancer, why people are getting Alzheimer's at 25 now. They're calling it neurological disorders. Why we're being basically cursed. It's because we have overturned the basic parameters of how civilization operates and works.
Thank you for listening to GCN.
It doesn't matter how hard the system pushes, all of its evil will now be exposed.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Alex Jones here, hosting via audio Skype, joining you from Rome, Italy. David Knight is at the helm of the transmission. He'll be joining me again in the next segment to play another powerful video. And we can simulate, all we want in our heads how dumb the public is. But when you go out and actually see for yourself in Austin, Texas, or New York City, or Los Angeles, California, and you say, let's put gun owners in forced labor camps for Obama. They say, yes, I'm sick of gun owners. Let's put them in slave camps. Let's get rid of freedom, ban the Bill of Rights for Hillary and make her a dictator. Yes, let's do it. That latest video is up on Infowars.com. We're going to retweet it right now. We're going to repost it to the front page. It was up last night. And it just, again, illustrates how dangerous these people are. Well, of course, if they lost the common sense to stand up for the unborn, they're going to dehumanize everybody else, including the Bill of Rights and Constitution, including their own freedoms, because they're in this fantasy land, literal trance, medical trance, believing that because they support Hillary or because they support Obama, that magically through alchemy, then it makes it okay, because somehow when they fantasize about total dictatorial control, that makes them the big mommy now, the big dictator. And you see this to a certain extent when Republicans are in supporting tyranny under Bush, but under Democrats, it takes on a sickening, rotting, stinking, oozing, truly beyond filthy aspect to it that is just obscene. But of course it's obscene. New Planned Parenthood video. First they denied these were real, then they said, okay, big deal. Now they're trying to block them in court. The new fifth Planned Parenthood video on Infowars.com. I hope this gets covered later. I'm sure it will. Talking about how it's just a matter of line items, intact fetal cadavers being delivered, close quote. They ensure we will deliver the entire cadavers. And then, of course, there's new evidence coming out that some of these groups keep the babies alive because you've got to harvest those organs lovingly, or there's a problem. And then I see people on YouTube going, well, of course, it's valuable organs. Let's sell them. Oh, but see, jackass, let me talk to those folks, you little greedy turds. Why don't you then get your girlfriend pregnant, change the market, and make sure you get 200 grand, which is not even half the money that's going to be made off the sale of the intact organs? Why not raise it to 9 months? Give birth to the child, like Peter Singer says, at Princeton, it has no rights, and then you can grow it up and then keep it alive stasis, keep it alive with breathing tubes and a feeding tube, and harvest the organs slowly and lovingly. Then you can get up to $1 million. Because if it's just a baby with no rights and no consciousness and no mind, because the bioethicists say so and the Watson computer at IBM says so, then go all the way. Go all the way, please, for us. And let's keep them alive till, say, age 5. Let's say your child's your property. And you can just grow them up till they're 5 years of age, have a blood type that matches some other rich kid. And then you can go in to take little Bobby or little Jenny or little Carol or little Fritz in and have them harvested, because that's what we've become as a society. While we cry about using the right words and getting rid of rebel flags and digging up Confederate generals to feel morally high ground and saying how incredibly courageous Caitlyn Jenner is with all the faux liberties, meanwhile, we have dehumanized ourselves, and all of us now aren't sticking up for each other. So we are screwed. We are in deep trouble. And the devil, whether you believe that as an entity or not, is being turned loose to ravenously tear us apart. We'll be back with the most dumbed down scum you've ever seen.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight in Austin, and joining us live from Rome is Alex Jones. Alex?
Thank you, David. Yes, Alex Jones here reporting live from Rome, Italy. I'm going to leave you here in a few minutes, and then David Knight's going to break down a lot of the latest breaking news and information and the situation with dumbed-down Hillary voters. And then towards the end of the hour, we'll get to a report where I ask the question, are we going to see the second fall of Rome? And, of course, the mayor and others here have said in the London Independent that they believe the city is collapsing. And, of course, as the taxes get raised and raised and raised. But it's bigger than just Rome itself. We're talking about Western culture. We're talking about the fact that Rome fell for the very same reasons that we see the globalist system failing. And that even though the globalists have designed failure into it to consolidate control, that very system that they've been exacerbating may be their downfall as well. But regardless, the collapse of the New World Order system will be spectacular, undoubtedly. In fact, every major culture and every major civilization has always degenerated and fallen. We see this throughout the last 6,000 years of recorded history and beyond. In the deeper, older archaeological record. And now we see this just-in-time market. We see this maxed-out population, the 7.5 billion people, with the globalists stifling innovation, believing that cutting back innovation will stifle population growth, when even the Royal Commission in 1949 found stifling industrialization grows populations. So you add all the greed and anti-human corruption of the Malthusian eugenicists that run the planet into our real problems, some of which they didn't cause, it is a perfect storm. So I know David's going to be talking about this latest Mark Dice report after I leave, and then he's welcome to get into, because I know he's an expert on that, on the degeneration of civilization and culture, and of course your phone calls and more today. And then there are some special guests joining us here in the third hour. I will be filing a whole bunch of special reports now. You've already seen many of them at Infowars.com and on the nightly news, but we're going to be focusing now on the Vatican itself Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then I come back Saturday. So we're going to be really focusing on the Vatican big time because the Vatican is becoming a publicly global political system. It pretty much always has been to a certain extent, but there's been different agendas from the church. I'm not a Catholic, but I've studied it. It's part of history. It's very interesting. I like Catholics on average. Found to be very upright, good, hardworking, pro-family, anti-communist people. So I follow Christ's lead. I judge a tree by its fruits. The new Catholic Church blackmailed over globalist infiltration with the pedophile rings will not speak out against the forced abortion garbage that's being funded by the UN. They will not speak out against Planned Parenthood, a Nazi eugenicist. Well, it's proto-Nazi. It helped give birth to Nazis, so that's not fair. Mother of the Nazis organization. They only push socialism, communism, carbon taxes, every globalist fraud, centralization of power with this smiling pope they call Papa. And they've got indulgences to him everywhere here in Rome. It's truly disgusting, and there he is, sounding like Margaret Sanger meets Fidel Castro, and we're supposed to fall down on our faces when what's coming out of him is just unbelievable. And of course, even the Associated Press reported, and The Hill as well, that his approval ratings are the lowest for any pope basically ever in the United States now, as people discovered who he was, as people discovered what he is pushing. But to the impoverished, dumbed-down third-world masses, it is the second coming of Christ. And so he's here to help bring in the world government, just as Obama is. It's just another sign this is the big push. And so David's going to be breaking that down, but we're going to be here. We're going to be in-depth investigating. We're going to be going into the Vatican. We're going to be talking to experts. We're going to be really intensely working the next 3.5-4 days before we return to the United States, the former United States, now under the transatlantic treaty, now part of the world government. But you could only have a pope getting away with not attacking abortion. When he first got in a few years ago, he said, Catholics obsess on abortion too much. They're too focused. And when I saw that, I said, whoa, something's going on. When I saw the mainstream media that normally attack Catholics saying how great he was, I said, whoa, we're in deep trouble. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. So we see the Catholic Church going from saying have kids to saying don't have kids, abort them, or saying nothing about it. Going from communism's bad to communism's good. Carbon taxes are a death sentence over the next few decades to over 1 billion people, Lord Monckton's own numbers show. And this can only be done with an incredibly dumbed-down population. So, David, I'm going to hand the baton to you here in a moment to play this Mark Dice latest video, because I speak hatefully of these people because they're well-spoken, they're cognizant, they are licking their lips with enjoyment to Mark Dice saying, we want to get rid of freedom, we want to get rid of the Bill of Rights for Hillary, you need to get out of her way. So we're told a woman would run things differently, yeah, like Queen Elizabeth II. I mean, it is just another cliche. And they're so engrossed on a power trip of reflected glory, imagining they're going to get all this power by putting a woman in there and all these free goodies, that they're openly embracing tyranny. This shows these people aren't a laughingstock. I always hear, oh, environmentalist wackos, or always hear, oh, you know, these dumb idiots want to ban the word, you know, or paper bags, brown paper bags, or this makes no sense. Ban the name mother and father. Look what the nuts have done next. That's not nuts. That's what some hale-bop space cult would do. This is a hardcore cult. And I know you know that, audience. We've got to really get serious with these people and just say, look, you're freak cult members, totalitarian scum that live off the government, the people. You're an abomination. The Republican leadership, it can't even defund partial birth abortion that's taxpayer funded all over the country. You can't do anything. Boehner's a worthless piece of garbage. It's a joke he's even in power. Thank God they're looking at recalling that maggot. And that's why they want to bring in totalitarianism. We're going to skip this network break. That's why they want to bring in totalitarianism. So David has time to comment and play the video. Is because they know that we're going to peacefully take the system back, and we're going to intellectually not. I mean, we're like selling snow cones in hell here. Hey, we shouldn't have foreign banks be tax exempt, rigging everything. We shouldn't be selling baby parts. There shouldn't be mobile execution vans in China, killing political dissidents. They shouldn't be putting fluoride in the water that Harvard admits lowers your IQ and gives you cancer. Here's their documents admitting they're killing us. There shouldn't be a forced inoculation. The president shouldn't be breaking in every day, taking over my cell phone with directives and orders and EAS alerts. This is a freak show. It's a joke. It's out of control. The people running this need to come back to earth. So I salute the hackers who are infiltrating these organizations and exposing their crimes. I salute the people, the true journalists, going in and showing the macabre baby sales. I salute everyone. That's what this is about. The stuff James O'Keefe's done, the stuff InfoWars does, the stuff we all do. We aren't perfect. We don't claim to have all the answers, but we don't love death. We don't love lies. We don't love fraud. We don't sit around and go, yeah, let's get rid of the Bill of Rights. I mean, we want sanity. We want prosperity. We want justice. We want to be good parents. We want to build a good world. We want space stations. We want undersea stations. We want deep mining. We want innovation. We want free energy. We want to live longer. We want the life extension. We want all of God's promises that we've been given so far. You look at how the Romans 2,000 plus years ago could build buildings they can't even hardly build today. You look at what humans can do in the music of Beethoven and the poetry of all these great people, and you look at what civilization has built together and how wonderful humanity is. I'm sick of the ugliest, dumbest, spiritually most corrupt, wicked demons squatting on top humanity, threatened by God's free will he's given us, and trying to destroy free will and calling it liberal. It's not liberal trying to force us to embrace all your forms of slavery and death. We reject your culture of death. We reject your fraud. The poison you put into us, we vomit it out. We crap it out. We sweat it out. We're done. We're free. The sun is rising. The beginning of humanity awakening is happening just as pure evil rises at the same time. Tectonic forces, make sure you pick the right side. Powerful reports coming up. David Knight, I'm going to hand the baton to you and the rest of the InfoWars operation, but I want to salute the listeners for making this entire operation possible.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Alex. That's Alex Jones reporting live from Rome, and we just had his reports. We're going to have another report coming up at the bottom of the hour, and as Alex was pointing out, we had this report from Mark Dice talking to people in California about the Bill of Rights. It was picked up by Drudge, and yesterday I talked about Norman Lear, 93 years old, talking to television critics and saying, when I was a child, I knew that there were people who wanted to kill me because I was Jewish, but I had this Bill of Rights, this Declaration of Independence. I knew that protected me, that kept me safe because I was taught that in civics class, not being taught today. And of course, he knows that as well as we know that. Look at these adults, as Mark Dice asked them, if they'll repeal the Bill of Rights for Hillary Clinton.
One of Hillary Clinton's primary campaign promises is to repeal the Bill of Rights to help with the New World Order. Do you think it's time we get behind her and support the repeal?
I think it is. I think we need change like they've been promising us for so many years. I think it's time to get behind Hillary Clinton and do
support her repeal
and support
the Bill of Rights.
Yes, I really do.
They're just too old.
I think
200 years
you
old.
You can't have the rules of yesteryear now.
Those freedoms are just so outdated.
It's so much has changed. So much has changed. People have changed. There's just we live in a different world now.
Checking to see if the Hillary Clinton supporters support the plan to repeal the Bill of Rights.
I support it.
You support it.
I support it.
Okay.
I sure do.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Her plan to repeal the Bill of Rights, about time we do that for her.
I think it's a good time to look at it, for
good
sure.
Good time to look at repealing the Bill of Rights for Hillary.
Good time to look at it.
All right. Hillary Clinton's primary campaign platform is to repeal the Bill of Rights to move America forward. Do you think that's a good campaign promise? Do you think that we should get behind her, regardless of what political party you're with, to support the repeal of the Bill of Rights?
I do. I think so.
Obviously, you're Hillary.
I'm stuck in between. I'm a little Democrat and I'm a little Republican. I'm not the extreme of either or. So,
but you do support Hillary Clinton.
I do.
And so you support the plan to repeal the Bill of Rights. Her big promise to move America forward.
Yes.
Just checking. We're just interviewing Hillary Clinton supporters to see if they agree with her primary campaign platform of repealing the Bill of Rights. So that you do support that.
I do.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
One of Hillary's primary campaign promises is to repeal the Bill of Rights to help out with the New World Order. Do you think it's time, should we get over bipartisan differences and support Hillary Clinton's plan to repeal the Bill of Rights?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I haven't been following lately.
You think Hillary Clinton has the right idea to repeal the Bill of Rights to help with the New World Order?
Possibly.
You think it's time maybe we support that?
Yeah. Might as well. Let everyone do their own.
A little bit too old, I guess.
Somewhat outdated.
One of Hillary Clinton's primary campaign promises is to repeal the Bill of Rights to help progress the New World Order. You think it's time we get on board with her and repeal the Bill of Rights to help America progress?
Sure, I do. I have nothing more to say.
Nothing more to say.
I don't talk politics. Ask her. We'll see what she says.
What do you think about Hillary's campaign to repeal the Bill of Rights? Do you think it's time we do that to progress society forward?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
You think it's time to get over partisan differences and support Hillary Clinton's plan to repeal the Bill of Rights?
I don't know. I really don't have an opinion with it.
It could be good. It could be bad. You're just not sure?
Yeah, it could kind of go both ways, depending on what exactly they're doing.
Repealing the Bill of Rights could be good or it could be bad.
Yes, I know. I'm in the middle. Okay. Yeah.
You probably saw one of Hillary Clinton's primary campaign promises is to repeal the Bill of Rights. I think it's time we continue with the progressive agenda and support Hillary's campaign to repeal the Bill of Rights?
Well, you know what? I absolutely think I have an unorthodox way of thinking when it comes to politics.
Uh-huh.
And I agree with a lot of Hillary's policies. And I do agree with repealing the Bill of Rights, not entirely. But some of it does need to be repealed. But I'm a pro-black person. So I come from a political aspect that relies on justice.
And the Bill of Rights.
People. And some of the Bill of Rights should be repealed. And which restructured.
Ones, which ones specifically?
Well, I'll tell you, specifically, I'd have to recall it through research, but the ones that are relating to injustices to the blacks, a lot of them, they say they offer assistance to blacks in certain ways in the political aspect, but they don't.
So the Bill of Rights are a little racist, is what you're saying?
Not necessarily racist. They're just unjust.
So the Bill of Rights are unjust.
Yeah, some of them, not all.
What do you think? Maybe 50% of them.
No, I would say probably a third.
A third of the Bill of Rights unjust.
But this is just coming from a guess, you know.
Okay.
From but
yeah.
Actually
you
having
to do
them
more
in front
research
of you, sitting
on
down,
the
do a little research, and could get more particular. But
okay.
Yeah, that's an honest opinion.
Okay.
About the Bill of Rights.
There you go. That's a demonstration of what Norman Lear was talking about how the Bill of Rights is not taught in civics class. Instead, what they do is they talk about white privilege. So he thinks that there's something in there that protects individual rights that is racist. You see, what he doesn't understand is the things that we've seen with police brutality. Those things would not be happening if the Bill of Rights were being enforced and not violated. But of course, it's not just Hillary Clinton, it's Republicans as well. Hillary would repeal the Second Amendment, as would most Democrats. And as that man was saying, well, let's just go in there selectively, take things out here and there, you know, because Marco Rubio, he would repeal the Fourth Amendment about searches and seizures because the NSA wants to look at what you're doing. Of course, Lindsey Graham has said, in contrast to the Sixth Amendment, shut up, you don't get a lawyer. Okay, well, shut up, Lindsey. You don't get nominated for president. You shouldn't even be a senator. So, yeah, they would all take bits and pieces of this. Look, the war on drugs and the war on terror themselves are ripping the Bill of Rights apart and have repealed the Constitution and the rule of law. So it's not a hypothetical, folks. They're willing to do this because they're blindly loyal to a politician, or they're blindly loyal to a party, or they're blindly loyal to this failed idea of a war on terror or a war on drugs. They get behind these concepts and they will rip apart the rule of law, destroying everything, going all the way back to the Magna Carta, the idea that we should be presumed innocent until we are found guilty, that we would not have inordinate crime, a punishment put against us. That we have some real right to privacy, not just the right to privacy in terms of killing your children. That's not a real right to privacy. They don't fundamentally believe any of that. They don't believe we should have a choice about anything either. The same people who say that they're championing pro-choice are the same ones who want to force vaccines on us. They want to take away our informed consent. So yeah, that's the world that we live in here in America, the world where people don't even know what the Bill of Rights are about. They have absolutely no concept of it, but they are blindly loyal to individuals. They're blindly loyal to failed policies that we have followed for decades that are not getting us anywhere. One of the things we're going to talk about when we get to the debate is an amazing admission and a reversal from Chris Christie, apparently, on the war of drugs. I've never seen anything like this before from Chris Christie. He was just a few days ago talking about how he's going to stop the decriminalization of marijuana in Colorado and elsewhere. And as one person said, how in the world is he going to do that? And I tweeted back and I said, well, maybe he will close the lanes on the bridges and bring them to their knees. But now he's saying a different tune. Before we go to break, I want to let you know that we have a special at InfoWarsStore.com. Silver Bullet. You can buy two, get two free. 50% off. A great way to stock up now while it's in stock at InfoWarsLife.com. Stock up for your preparedness. Right now you can get Silver Bullet half price off. Again, that's our 30 parts per million colloidal silver and a deionized base of water. And you can get free shipping. We've extended the July free shipping for one more week. We know that many people have been on vacation. A lot of people may not have realized that it was free shipping for the month of July. We didn't really push that too hard until the end of the month. So we want to extend that, give people an opportunity to take advantage of that, an opportunity to say thank you for supporting InfoWars. It's the products that we sell at InfoWarsLife.com that supports our operation. And of course, you can get all of those for this week. We're extending the free shipping for all the products at InfoWarsLife.com. That even includes things like the products that we keep here in the warehouse that we don't have to transship, products like T-shirts and belt buckles and that sort of thing. So it's a good time to stock up on Christmas gifts. I was just talking to my wife. She went back to get something that she wanted to buy on special. She said they took all this stuff off a special, cleared it out. They're stocking the stores for Christmas already, and it's August. And so maybe you should think about your, well, you can get free shipping, getting some gifts for Christmas. Now, in terms of some of the ways that this country is devolving, I saw this report a couple of days ago, and I hadn't reported on it yet. There's been so much news happening. This is a report from Countercurrent News. A police department in Massachusetts is admitting that they only hire applicants who promise that they would not arrest other cops. How's that? How's that for not only corruption, but violating your rights? Because that's the way that they've been trained. We're not trained to know what our rights are. We're not trained to, we're trained to think that maybe, you know, a third of the Bill of Rights are racist because just our country is just racist in general. That's what he was taught when he went to school, when he went to the government school. They didn't teach him about the Bill of Rights. They didn't teach him about individual rights. They just told him that he was a put-upon minority. But, of course, then there's another minority, the men in blue, who are going to stand up for their own rights, and this group of people is not going to arrest each other. They say the Massachusetts Civil Service Commission officials wrote in an official investigation they were disappointed to discover that the city of Methuen gave higher ranking points to candidates who said they would never arrest a fellow cop for drunk driving. And they docked applicants if they said they would arrest a cop for violating the law. How's that? Stay with us. We'll be right back with Alex Jones's report, The Second Fall of Rome.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder. Another world, another time. This land was green and good until the crystal cracked.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the Resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Alex Jones here reporting from the capital city of Italy, Rome. This ancient city is so incredibly important to understand what's happening in modern times because much of our political culture, but also economic culture, came out of the city of Rome that had the largest world empire in history up until that time, except for Alexander the Great. And the Romans themselves had modeled much of what they did off of the Macedonian known world conqueror that came, of course, hundreds of years before, the legend of Romulus and Remus suckling from a she-wolf here at the center of the Seven Hills. What we do know is it was the Treaty of Rome in the late 1950s that founded the covert European Union that is now destroying what's left of national sovereignty and individual freedom. We have seen the private central banks install presidents in Italy and presidents and leaders in places like Greece. Truly unprecedented. And as we watch the world economic collapse be engineered, InfoWars knew that it was key to travel to Spain, Italy, and other countries to see for ourselves exactly what is happening.
We're producing a documentary out of this trip that'll air in about a month or so on InfoWars Nightly News. Rob Dew, InfoWars Nightly News director, is here with us helping run camera. So is Buckley Hammond, and of course, myself. But you've got to get on the ground to experience it for yourself. Being in Spain, there were more foreigners than there were Spanish. There's just flotillas coming in from North Africa on a daily basis. Same thing with Italy. Just literally hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants a year as Africa collapses, as the Middle East collapses. And much of that is because of Western policies that are deliberately destabilizing Africa and the Middle East so they can be more easily controlled for their raw resources. And then the people of the West end up paying for it when these immigrant populations come in. The globalists then put them on welfare and use them as a new political tool, giving them voting rights in many cases to then basically be an outside political force to checkmate any action to kick out the globalists that have economically conquered these countries. So here we are in the birthplace of what has become fascism worldwide. Here we are in Rome, and some of the leaders of Italy, and of course the mayor of Rome and others have said recently in the London Telegraph that they believe the city is on the verge of collapse. So we're going to be out investigating to see how serious the depression in Europe is. We're also going to be seeing if the unemployment is as bad as they say, upwards of 30%. It was 40% in Spain. We were in the Catalan area. We were in Barcelona, the wealthiest city in Spain, but still talking to the people off record, they were scared and said that things were not as good as it had used to be. And that was in the most wealthy sector of Spain that's been trying unsuccessfully to secede. But we saw literally tens of thousands. They were just on almost every doorstep and hanging off every balcony of secession flags for the Catalonians wanting to leave Spain. And we know there's all sorts of moves in Italy trying to get out from underneath the European Union. That's why they're trying to use this crisis to bring in even more EU control and dissolve what local, regional, national sovereignty was left. So there's no check or no balance, no separation of powers like we have in the United States on the EU dictatorship that has been set up. But here we are, the place where Julius Caesar was stabbed to death after he brought his troops in from the north, crossing the Rubicon, becoming a dictator. Here we are in the place where Mussolini, the fascist leader, was hung up by his legs and basically spit on by tens of thousands. Here we are in the capital city of Italy, where so much of the fight for the globalist takeover is taking place. And we're going to be doing man-on-the-street interviews. We're going to be also traveling. I'm going to pick this out on a map, a random small town to go to in Italy, separate from Rome itself, to try to get a flavor of just exactly what's happening there. And so many people who are ignorant politically, not really our audience, but folks I see on YouTube, people commenting on InfoWars, say, you know, why do we care about Europe? Well, that's like saying, why do you care if the stock market crashes? Well, I don't own stock. I don't care. Well, if the stock market crashes, then most businesses will crash, then you'll be laid off. Or if you own your own shop or business, people won't have money to come in and buy from it. I mean, I know real business owners, people in the real economy know this, but so many smart mouths out there say, why do we care if China collapses with the stock market? Why do we care if Europe collapses? There's, you know, there's kind of this sick idea that I've seen out there that when somebody else does bad, we do good. No, that's not how trade works, especially when we've been globalized. When another nation does bad, we do bad as well. And that's what Ron Paul always talks about. It's time to stop fighting. It's time to stop having this wartime-based economy and get onto a free market economy. But the globalists don't want that. They're on record wanting managed crony economies where they control who gets the business, they control who gets the contracts. And look, I know the general audience of InfoWars, the nightly news, the radio show, the films, the readers of InfoWars.com. I know you already know all this. But we need to get the word out to the general public because they're starting to wake up that there's a problem. They don't know what the solution is, and they're being sold that socialism and more collectivism and more wealth redistribution is the answer, not understanding the ultra, ultra, ultra rich are tax exempt, basically, and have diplomatic immunity, and they're the ones lobbying to raise taxes on the working person and on the middle class and on the new rich who create the economy that allows there to be a renaissance of ideas. The globalists are against economies, period, that are diverse because it allows choice, and voting with your euros, voting with your dollars, voting culturally for the products and ideas and beliefs you believe in by your free association doesn't allow them to run the world. And these people are control freaks. They want to dominate all these cultures and all these peoples and erase any form of national sovereignty. They're even trying to get rid of the national teams of Italy and Germany and England and others, saying that it's too nationalistic, and just have them have, you know, like superhero names or things like that, like we have in the United States, because they don't want there to be any idea that there were ever any independent systems. And look, none of these countries are perfect. But when you get far removed imperial unelected governments, you've really got a big problem on your hands. So epic things are happening. Being in the city of Rome itself, coming into the airport, again, I see more people who aren't from this country than are from this country. Italians have the lowest birth rate in Europe, 1.2, 1.3 children for every two adults. Italy is dying. The West is dying. And look, it's almost racist, they say, to even want to have a Western culture. I don't want any culture to die. The Japanese have a low birth rate. I'm not Japanese, but they have a 1.3 birth rate. I'm very sad that their culture's dying. And, you know, it's okay to have Japanese. It's okay to have Italians. It's okay to have Germans and Russians and South Africans. It's okay to have Mexicans. It's okay to have your culture. It's okay that you're special. If you choose to mix with other cultures, if you choose to be part of that, that's your right as well. That's beautiful. But globalism erases all original indigenous culture because it's based on family, on honor, on private property, compared to their plastic, synthetic culture of death. And that's what we're here exposing. And you notice we're having victories against Planned Parenthood, victories against ISIS being Western run. Humanity is waking up. But if humanity would just realize the power that they have, if you would realize that, and I know you do, but if you really realized it and got others to realize it, these tyrants would vanish like phantoms at dawn, to paraphrase Thomas Jefferson. So a ton of reports coming up from this incredibly historic city of Rome. We'll be breaking it all down. Spain was amazing. The UK is amazing. I've never been to Italy. This blows it all away. The vibe in Rome is really interesting. I'm told the Colosseum has a really bad vibe from people that have been to it. We're going to be going there and reporting. It's all coming up. Infowars.com. Again, we're producing a documentary that'll be out very, very soon for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. I'm going to throw this back to David Knight, co-hosting live from Austin, Texas, from the InfoWars Command Center, the house that you, the people, built. You are the resistance.
And that's Alex Jones reporting from Rome. And, of course, he's not the only one with his eyes on Europe. The U.S. government is spying on EU companies in order to control European industries. Of course that's what they're doing. That's why the Europeans are so upset. It's not that they're not spying on the Germans because they think that the Germans are a threat to the United States. They're spying on them because this is part of corporate espionage. It's part of the crony capitalism that's involved. They say the NSA's focus remains economic espionage, not international terror. This is an article up on Infowars.com. Data collection is only a small part of the NSA's intelligence task. They say the main goal of the U.S. intelligence agencies is to control politicians and managers in Europe. Says the former head of the Austrian Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution. They actually want to protect their constitution in Germany. The guy's name is Gerd Polly. He said that in an interview. He said U.S. espionage activities are designed to reinforce American interest to control European politicians. He said it's no longer about national security as it was before 9/11, but it's become economic and industrial espionage against Europe. They understand what this is about. And let's take a look at the newest example of this. This is Windows 10. Incredibly intrusive. It spies on you by default. What's going to be done with that information? Of course, our government is trying to legalize and give legal immunity to the corporations to turn that information over to them. They call that intelligence sharing. That's what the several versions of CISPA were about. And of course, they now have CISA. They've taken the P out because they don't want you to think about the fact that this is protecting the corporations from spying on you, from spying on other corporations. It's about corporate espionage. They say Microsoft's new Windows 10 operating system is immensely popular with 14 million downloads in just 2 days. The price of the free upgrade, however, may just be your privacy. This is RT reporting. Changing Windows 10's intrusive default settings is very difficult, as it is very difficult to change the default settings of government. Government's default setting is tyranny. Government's default setting is to control you. The founders of this country understood that. That's why they put in the Bill of Rights, because they knew that governments always default to tyranny, just like Windows 10 defaults to spying on you. And of course, one of the things that you have to do, listen to what you have to do to stop it from spying on you. Tech bloggers have warned the privacy settings in Windows 10 are invasive by default, that changing them involves over a dozen different screens and external websites. And you know what? It's going to require us to get involved externally to Washington in order to stop this default tyranny that has developed. Is that going to happen? Or are we going to be totally focused on the presidential horse race? Yes, it began yesterday.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere. And here's a guy that says if the weather is clear, can do.
Yeah, they're all giving us the odds on who's going to win. Which horse is the Paul Revere horse? Well, unfortunately, there's not really many horses out there that are sounding the alarm about government tyranny. There actually, I think there is one horse that is a Paul Revere horse. Look at this article back in May 28th, where they're focusing on the horse race aspect of it, of course. Who's the most popular? And I think it's very interesting to go back and take a look at this, because this was, what, only about 2 months ago. It was the end, it was the very beginning of June or end of May. Here we are at the beginning of August. 2 months ago, Bush 10%, Carson 10%, Huckabee 10%, Rubio 10%, Walker 10%, Cruz 6%, Trump 5%, Christie 4%. Did you hear that? Trump 5%. Did you notice that Rand Paul isn't anywhere in there? Isn't that interesting? Well, you know, of course, that's because when Fox News put it up, even though Rand Paul polled at 7% ahead of Cruz's 6%, ahead of Trump's 5%, he was totally omitted. And then, of course, when MSNBC covered the same Quinnipiac poll, they included the top 7 performers, cutting off the graphic after Cruz and not showing Rand Paul there either. Instead of leaving Paul off their coverage, MSNBC decided not to show the candidates with substantially lower polling scores, okay? So look at this. Look at the horse race. Look at how much things have changed since then. For all the people who think that this thing is over before it's begun, it isn't. But there is a massive amount of handicapping. Just like you heard those guys, they're going to go back and they're going to talk, well, I think this horse here can do it. I think that horse can do it. That's what this coverage is about. They're not talking about issues. They're not going to compare. They're not going to contrast issues. And you know what? Most of these horses are saying exactly the same thing. But here's what the Paul Revere horse says. Let's play. Last night was really a beauty contest, and Donald Trump was wise to stay out of it. Donald Trump knows what beauty contests are about, so he stayed out of this one. Let's listen, though, to some of the sound bites that came out of it. Here's Rand Paul when he was asked about privacy.
What private information should the government collect from individuals to guarantee homeland security? Where do you draw the line?
Well, I think we should collect more information on terrorists, but less information on innocent individuals. We have a way now to get information. It's called the Fourth Amendment. You have to individualize suspicion. And actually, most of the times we've been attacked, we actually have had tips. We just didn't follow through on them. The 17th or the 19th hijacker, Massawi, we had information and we failed to get a warrant. It wasn't that a warrant was denied. The Boston bomber, we had information. We failed to pursue it. Same way with Fort Hood massacre, had information and failed to pursue it. I think we can catch terrorists if we get more information on terrorists, but there's no evidence. There's 3 bipartisan commissions that say, you know what? The information we're capturing indiscriminately on all Americans hadn't caught any terrorists. It hasn't made us safer, but it has damaged our Bill of Rights, and it has damaged our right to privacy.
Senator Paul, but are you concerned that it might take some time in a terrorist situation with ICE or police or federal agents to stop a bomb going off if you have to get that warrant?
There's a lag here because he's
imminent circumstances in which things can happen. In someone screaming from a building, you don't stop to get a warrant. It's the same way with the bomb. So there have always been exigent circumstances. But for the most part, you do need to get a warrant. And the real
okay, let's stop it right there. Of course, that conservative moderator is always going to come up, just like the people who say, well, you know, we have to have, we can't ban abortion because we need this particular exception or whatever. They want to destroy the Bill of Rights. And we've only got one guy who's going to stand up and say, yeah, all right, you got a bomb that's happening. You got a building on fire. We can do something about that. You don't have to get a warrant, obviously, for that. And as he pointed out, he's saying the same thing that the NSA whistleblowers have told us over and over again, that yes, they didn't use information. The way that they are spying on everybody is creating a bigger haystack in which to find the needle. But we're going to hear when we come back the standard Republican line. And I think nobody gives that standard Republican line about how we need to destroy your freedoms to keep you safe. We need to shred the Bill of Rights in order to keep you safe. Than Marco Rubio. So we're going to play Marco Rubio when we come back. Stay with us. The Alex Jones Show on this Tuesday, August 4th, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host. We were just talking about the preliminary debate last night, the horse race aspects of it. People who were polling around 10% 2 months ago at the top of the pack now probably won't even make this cut for the top 10 when it comes to the Thursday debate. That's the horse race aspect of it. And of course, at the same time we saw those kinds of numbers, we had Fox News deliberately omitting Rand Paul, who was doing quite well. He was at 7%. The highest was at 10%. But they omitted him while showing people that were polling less, that were polling 6%, 5%, 4%, 2%. They omitted him from the graphic, as you can see that graphic right there. He was above Ted Cruz. They just chopped him off. And it wasn't the only time they did that. And they weren't the only news media to omit him from the polls. We just had his response to the question about what do we do about the Bill of Rights? Shouldn't we sacrifice the Bill of Rights on the altar of being concerned about security? And of course, he gave a very good answer to that. We're going to have the standard Republican line from Marco Rubio coming up in just one moment. Before we do, I want to let you know that we have a flash sale today of vitamin B12 at InfoWarsLife.com. This is a 24-hour sale. It is 30% off of our Secret 12. That's a vitamin B12 formula. It uses nutraceutical grade B12. It's taken by mouth, so you don't need to get it injected. There's no needles, folks. It's a way that you can take it painlessly, orally, and have it very much bioavailable. Again, 30% off, and everything is free shipping at InfoWarsLife .com this week. We've extended free shipping for the month of July for one more week as a way of saying thank you to those of you who support our operation. Again, free shipping, 30% off, B12. You can get that right now. It's a one-day sale. Let's go back to the response from Marco Rubio. Later on in the debate, they brought Marco Rubio up, and the same moderator said, well, Rand Paul told us what he thought about thinking that the government is going too far. Really? You think the government is going too far in terms of spying on everything everybody's doing? Can you imagine somebody saying that at a GOP debate? Here's what Marco Rubio said.
Senator Marco Rubio, Senator Rand Paul, spoke tonight about his feeling that the government was going too far in trying to collect data and information on possible terrorist activity, even against individuals if they were innocent. Do you think that he made, or that effort to do that, to get away with that data mining, made this country safer or less safe? And do you also, second part of this, do you trust no one in the federal government will misuse our phone and internet records?
Oh, of course they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't lose them either, like they lost 4 million of their own employees' records.
As a member of the United States Intelligence Committee, almost on a daily basis, I review the threats that are coming at our country. And suffice it to say that we are living through a period that is increasingly more dangerous than
FBI
any we
creates.
Have ever lived through before. All the attention paid to ISIS, and rightfully just ISIS, Al-Qaeda still exists. In fact, it's an organization looking to remain relevant. And the best way for them to remain relevant in their minds is to conduct a devastating attack against the United States. The Al-Nusra Front is growing in power within Syria. The Khorasan group is actively plotting attacks abroad against the United States and our allies and our interests. And all these groups actively are engaging and trying to recruit and inspire radicals located within our own country to kill Americans and attack our interests here and abroad. These risks are serious. They are not a game. And in my mind, it's not a question of if we're attacked. It's a question of when we're attacked. And when we are, the American people are going to want to know, why didn't we know about it and why weren't we able to stop it? So we need every tool at our disposal. And we have lost information we used to have. Just in the last 4 years.
Okay, let's hold it right there because I just can't take any more of this standard Republican line. Look, we all know by this point that you are funding and equipping these attacks, the real ones coming from ISIS. You have created real terrorists. You've created phony attacks by the FBI in order to sell us this twisted version of government. Stay with us. We're going to have a back and forth on the war on drugs with Marco Rubio and Chris Christie.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. We've been talking about the first quote-unquote debate that occurred in New Hampshire, of course. It was no debate, as Yahoo pointed out. No debate in New Hampshire. Republican gathering sees 14 candidates, but few fireworks. Actually, I didn't see any fireworks. There was no debate, as they pointed out, because they didn't let the candidates respond to each other. They didn't have them go face to face. That was deliberate. That was something the Republican Party said. They said rules put in place by the Republican National Committee to prevent GOP candidates from having to take part in too many debates that take up valuable preparation time and, in the opinion of the RNC, create a dynamic of ongoing Republican versus Republican criticism. The forum was fatally hamstrung. Even by C-SPAN standards, it was incredibly dull. That's the problem, is staying awake through these things. They say that it could have been a debate, but instead they had the candidates sitting in theater chairs in the front row of an auditorium watching another one slide quickly onto a bar stool while their names and brief bios were read out over the loudspeaker and the audience sat in complete silence. This is managed completely by the RNC. We need to be able to have debate. We need to be able to see them have ideas that are put out instead of just regurgitating their talking points in a controlled manner. But it is interesting to look at their standard talking points. Nobody has the talking points down more smoothly than Marco Rubio. He can just rattle these things off, coldly talking about how he wants to destroy all of your individual rights because, you know, it's a dangerous world out there. He is the face of the GOP's war on drugs, their war on terror. He is the authoritarian, nice face that they put on this. And so, you know, when we had that Mark Dice video where they went to San Francisco and they asked people, would you destroy the Bill of Rights for Hillary Clinton? She wants to destroy the Bill of Rights. And of course she does. She wants to destroy several of the Bill of Rights. And of course, so do these guys. Will you destroy the Bill of Rights for Marco Rubio? Will you do it for Lindsey Graham, who says you don't get a lawyer? We're going to just grab you with the military, hold you indefinitely without trial, without charge. We're going to take your property without trial, without charge, not finding you guilty. That's what all these guys represent, all except for one, the horse called Paul Revere, Rand Paul. Let's go to what Marco Rubio had to say. And I want to tell you real quickly what Chris Christie said. Very different when we come back. When we leave enough time, we can do that. Let's play a little bit of Marco Rubio on the drugs.
Should medical marijuana be a narrowly written law, or is it okay to have conflicting laws in certain states?
I don't support the legalization of marijuana. I understand that individual states are going through the debate of its use for medicinal purposes. I know in Florida that debate's ongoing. And as long as it truly is for medicinal purposes, and even at the national level, goes through, for example, the FDA process that any other medicine would have to go through, that's something I'm willing to explore. What I do not support
is
the legalization of marijuana or any other additional intoxicant. This country is already paying a significant price for illegal use of drugs and even alcohol, which is legal. You talk about New Hampshire for a moment.
Okay.
One of the stories.
Let's stop it right there. We're paying a tremendous price for alcohol, which is legal. Okay, alcohol was made illegal once upon a time. Why was that? It was because we passed an amendment because the federal government has no legal authority to make alcohol or anything else illegal. Where is the amendment to make marijuana illegal? The amendment to make cocaine illegal, heroin illegal? Where is the amendment that allows the federal government to use the FDA to keep cancer therapy and make that illegal? Keep that away from people. There is none. This guy hates the Constitution. He destroys the Constitution. He has no legal authority for it. He says he's willing to explore letting people use marijuana for medical purposes. Baloney. He and Jeb Bush took the money from Sheldon Adelson to shut that down. But interestingly enough, Chris Christie said the war on drugs last night, he said it was a failure. He argued that compassionate policies that he had were proving successful. I don't know what those are, but he says this is a disease. The war on drugs has been a failure, a well-intentioned but failure. He says nonviolent offenders should have sentences reduced, more treatment should be made available in the face of growing heroin epidemic, and we should support our rule of law. Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Doug Hagman from Hagman & Hagman.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Back to the Alex Jones Show on this Tuesday, August 4th, 2015. Joining me now is Doug Hagman of HagmanandHagman.com. We're going to go to Doug in just one moment, and we're going to talk about Planned Parenthood and several other issues. Before we do, I just want to remind you that we have free shipping extended for one more week at InfoWarsLife.com. We also have a special on Silver Bullet. Buy two, get two free. In other words, 50% off. Normally, we sell out of Silver Bullet, but right now we have it in stock. It's a good time to prepare to set up your preparation stock. Silver Bullet is our 30 parts per million colloidal silver in a base of deionized pure water, and you can get free shipping on it like all of the products that we have at InfoWarsLife.com. It's a way of saying thank you to those who support us. We're extending that free shipping for one more week, and you can get free shipping on everything at the InfoWarsLife.com store. Again, Silver Bullet, buy two, get two free, half off right now. Doug Hagman is the founder and director of Northeast Intelligence Network. He's CEO of a multi-state licensed private investigative agency serving many Fortune 500 clients. He is also the author of Tactical Surveillance. And so I wanted to talk to him before we get into, there's a lot of different topics. We want to talk about ISIS in the Middle East, the Iran nuclear agreement. Before we do that, though, I want to talk to Doug about Planned Parenthood. And, of course, let me get everyone up to date on what's happened with the news on Planned Parenthood today. We know that there were these movements in the last end of last week, there were movements to block these videos that are coming out from this group, Center for Medical Progress. They were successful in getting a judge to put an injunction out to stop the reporting of videos that involved STEM Express. I don't know what the basis of that injunction is. I don't see that as being a reasonable thing. I think we need to see what's going on. The public needs to know. And if there's criminal activity, I don't understand why a judge would put an injunction on it. Nevertheless, National Abortion Federation also joined in that to try to keep that out of there. And, of course, the CMP head, the people who have done the Center for Medical Progress, said he believed they're trying to block the video because they have video that they've already shot, they're about to release, that could prove that aborted babies were born alive and then harvested. Today, we've had the fifth video come out. And you can see this on InfoWars.com. Fifth Planned Parenthood video. Official brags that whole bodies of babies are just a matter of quote-unquote line items. The official says, we can get intact fetal cadavers delivered. This time, the official discussed selling intact specimens. In other words, whole bodies of babies. That's what we would call an entire baby. They call it an intact cadaver specimen. We call that a baby that they've killed. And as Dana Lesh pointed out, wow, around 3:21, Planned Parenthood discusses selling whole bodies of babies. Another comment, Stephen Miller says, Planned Parenthood director is on tape confirming several times the process can be altered to meet client needs. This is illegal. It's not hard to see this. Yeah, we all see exactly what's going on with this. Now, what's being done about it? Well, of course, we had Rand Paul working very hard, also with Ted Cruz, trying to defund Planned Parenthood at the federal level, being resisted by GOP leadership like Mitch McConnell, and being joined by people on the other side, like Democrat Senator Joe Manchin, said he would vote to defund Planned Parenthood. We need to support people when they're right on the right issues. We need to support them when they do the right thing and not get caught up in party politics. So Joe Manchin worked with Cruz, worked with Rand Paul to try to stop the funding of Planned Parenthood. Good for him. And realize the leaders of the Republican Party who opposed that, because it got stopped. It failed. It came up for a vote yesterday. The vote was 53 to 46. The measure failed to get the 60 votes that would be needed to overcome a Democrat filibuster, because the majority of Democrats are against it. They would filibuster this. But again, as I pointed out, there are some Democrats like Joe Manchin who voted for it. GOP Senator Rand Paul pressed the Senate leaders for the vote on Planned Parenthood. He said, "I support any legislation that will defund Planned Parenthood. I don't think you start out with an objective to shut down the government," because they were saying, "Well, you're just going to shut down the government." It's like, no, we're trying to shut down these criminal practices. One more thing, and then we'll go to Doug Hagman and get his comments on this. I've said many times, I think that it is not possible to really affect change in Washington anymore. Certainly, it's definitely worth the try. We should never stop trying. And I appreciate the efforts of Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Joe Manchin, and others who tried to do that. Nevertheless, take a look at what happened in Louisiana. Again, another article that's up on InfoWars.com. Louisiana cuts off Planned Parenthood funding. This is a effort by Bobby Jindal, the Louisiana governor. He cut off state funding for Planned Parenthood. Not only did he blocked Medicaid money to Planned Parenthood of the Gulf Coast on Monday, he also barred the State Department of Health and hospitals from funding the organization. You can have more effect, I believe, and I think this is another example of it, how you can have more effect working locally and working at the state level than you can at the national level. We should fight them everywhere, but we need to understand that instead of focusing the majority, 90% of our efforts at the federal government level, I think we should do just the opposite. It should be 90% at the local level, contain them, cut them off, make the changes locally where we can have the most effect. Now let's go to Doug Hagman. Thank you, Doug, for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. And you're right on the money in terms of your assessment. Hitting them on a state level, I think, would be much more effective than attempting to defund them from a federal level. However, and I'm not sure how many people know this, according to their 2014 annual report, the taxpayer funded government health services for Planned Parenthood, $500 million, $540.6 million.
Yes,
that's not a cheap date.
Absolutely, yeah, they're getting a massive amount of money at the federal level, so we can't just fight it at the local level. Here in Austin, Doug, we found out when we talked to Abby Johnson, we found out that just in the city of Austin, they have given Planned Parenthood a 20-year lease, $1 a year, for a 7,000-square-foot facility. And I think this kind of thing is happening all over the country, and most people don't know about it. We know about the $500 million, and it's difficult to stop that. But many people don't know about these other things that are being done, like a $1 lease for a 7,000-square-foot facility that are being done locally, and that's going to be easier. It's going to still be difficult to change, but that's kind of thing, and change the politicians if you can't change the lease. That kind of thing is still pretty much in the dark, and people don't understand all those other subsidies that Planned Parenthood is getting at various other levels.
Bloomberg donated $250,000 here not too long ago. Mm-hmm. But you know, when we look at this, and this is kind of why I was really wanted to focus on this. I believe that the two of the greatest threats to the stability of our Republican form of government and our rights guaranteed by the Bill of Rights are abortion and gun control. I mean, when you look at it, the Supreme Court justices who voted for abortion, well, this is back, you know, they acted outside of the pale and, of course, outside of the Constitution when they said the Fourth Amendment right to privacy, that right could be interpreted as rights of a woman to abort her unborn child. So they perverted the Constitution a number of years ago, but well, back in 73, and have used that as a template and are using that very same tactic to attack us on the level of the Second Amendment. So I think the reason, I think people have to understand the assault on the American or on the Constitution by the people in power. And the other side of that, very closely related, you know, as Americans, and I know this kind of sounds pretty nebulous and vague, but I think as Americans, we've tolerated, we've embraced, and we've even championed a lot of things that would have horrified our parents and our grandparents generations ago.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
You know, so when we look at this, banning the Ten Commandments, and we're seeing this incremental attack on our freedoms via Christianity, attack on Christianity. We're seeing the Ten Commandments expunged from public places, erased. We're looking at the slow starvation of the disabled. All of this points to genocide and eugenics. People don't, and you know, I was listening to you earlier. I mean, people don't have this understanding of what Planned Parenthood, how it started, how what it's rooted in, and it's a genocidal type program. It's eugenics. It's and of all races, of all people, black people should be just outraged over what's going on because at its core, the Sanger and you know back in the Sanger days, pre-Planned Parenthood, establishing Planned Parenthood, of course, Margaret Sanger was the most hideous form of racist around, where she wanted to cleanse society of black people and of people with any kind of disability. So people really need to get into the meat of this, and mainstream media is not touching any of this. They're not understanding that you know, the Guidestones, Georgia Guidestones, are in fact real, for example, and you know, they mean to the powers that be, the power elite, mean to cut down the COVID population down to half a million or half a billion people.
Oh, absolutely. You're talking about the Georgia Guidestones. Everybody's saying, well, you know, who is it that put that up there? We don't really know who put that up there. Well, we know what the Pope is saying now, and we know who he's made one of his top scientific advisors, Schellenhuber. And the Pope is coming and selling his global warming agenda.
Yep.
And doing it in the name, you know, using this guy that has talked about having massive depopulation, just like the Georgia Guidestones are talking about, just like you mentioned. Schellenhuber is talking about getting rid of most of the people on Earth and establishing a planetary governance, a planetary council, a planetary court to haul you before, all in the name of global warming. And now we've got a face on it. We've got the Pope doing it. We've got Prince Charles doing it. We've got Obama doing it. These guys are openly doing it, what they were hiding before when they anonymously put up the Georgia Guidestones.
Exactly. And I think if people look at the bigger picture of this, we can see where this is just one part, but and albeit a very important part, of the globalist agenda. And they're going to fight tooth and nail. The globalists are going to fight tooth and nail. The people in power in Congress, they're going to fight to make sure that none of this, none of these videos see the light of day, as evidenced by the injunction. However, and I'll say this, I spent a number of years as an operational asset for the FBI taking covert video, just like the Center for Medical Progress.
Hang on, Doug. We got to talk about that. When we come back, we got to go to a break. Doug Hagman of Hagman & Hagman. We'll be right back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Doug Hagman of HagmanandHagman.com. That's his website. He's also a multi-state licensed private investigator, and we has a he's a CEO of an investigative agency. We're going to talk to him about how investigations are done in light of Planned Parenthood. And, of course, we had the vote yesterday, and you can see the story on InfoWars.com. Democrats who voted against defunding Planned Parenthood never even watched the expose. Some bizarrely claim that the footage is doctored. Look, we've been told by the Obama administration that these videos are a conspiracy, that they're a hoax. Now we have Representative Alan Grayson says, tonight a bunch of men will vote against women seeing doctors, quote unquote, because they saw a doctored video. That's the GOP for you. Yeah, you know what? These guys are butchers. They're not doctors. Joseph Mengele was a doctor too, okay? A doctor is somebody that helps people, doesn't butcher innocent babies. Now, this is something that was offered by Joni Ernst. Rand Paul, Ted Cruz worked on it. We also had a Democrat, Joe Manchin at least, voted for it. I don't know how many others. But this is something that we see them pushing back, saying it's just a conspiracy theory. This is something that is an investigation, isn't it, Doug?
You know, this is so important right now. I think we're at a hinge moment in our history, and I'll tell you why. Before the break, I was mentioning that as an investigator, I worked as an operational asset for the Department of Justice and the FBI, and I took covert video just exactly like we have seen from the Center for Medical Progress.
Exactly, yes.
And I'll tell you something. Every single court case, every time a case like that went to court, and it was very few because most pleaded out after knowing that they were on videotape. But in this case, the playbook for defense is the same. The tape's number one. Oh, it's edited. It's out of context. Right. Or the second thing is taken under false pretexts. That happens all the time. It's common course for law enforcement, for example, to misrepresent themselves and insert themselves in a situation where there's ongoing criminal activity. And certainly Planned Parenthood falls in that category when they are talking about transporting body parts, period, or harvesting body parts. And I say infant body parts. That's exactly what they're doing. The playbook that is being used by the defenders is the same playbook that's being used by defense attorneys all over this country, and it's tried, true, and worn out. And the fact of the matter is, it's nothing but a smokescreen to take away, to deflect from the topic of the felonious activity taking place at Planned Parenthood. And I wrote an article, expose at ParenthoodCanadaFreePress.com and HagmanHagman.com, about my experiences as an investigator and the comparison made between the cries against the video versus what I experienced.
That's a great point, Doug. You know, you're talking about how in every one of these cases, this is standard investigation procedure. One of these cases, they say this is doctored, this is heavily edited, it's taken out of context, this is entrapment. And yet, when sometimes it can be entrapment when the FBI does it, when they create the threat, when they go into many of these fake terrorist situations that they create out of whole cloth, they create the organization, they entrap people into this, they equip them, they drive them to the place. In many cases like that, I do believe that it's entrapment. But when there's a criminal operation that is going on that they know about, and then they come in and say, well, we want to sell to your criminal organization or buy from it or be a part of it or whatever. They know that this is already going on, and then they come in there under those circumstances. That's not entrapment. That's an investigation. And that's exactly what this Planned Parenthood video is.
Yeah, and I don't mean to belabor the point, but entrapment would be let's say a business owner, a pizza shop owner making pizzas, never had a problem with the criminal history at all, and an FBI agent comes in and says, look, I want you to build a bomb. I'm going to help. You know, that's entrapment.
Exactly.
This is a course of conduct that these people are engaged in every single day. They're not asking anything except for information. And if you watch the tapes, the videos closely. And by the way, the information I got, and I'll share this on InfoWars exclusively. Information I got, the video that they have is extremely damning. We haven't seen the best yet. The best is yet to come, and it's going to indict. Many people in terms of criminal activity, sickening criminal activity. And then there's the satanic element of this too that's not being reported. And I'll just briefly touch on that. The information I have is...
Well, hang on. We're going to talk about that when we come. We've got to go to another break. But I agree with you. I think the most damning stuff is definitely to come. They had 9 videos. We have had, I think, just the 5th one released today. That's why they want to stop this. That's why they're trying to shut it down using the court. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Doug Hagman of HagmanAndHagman.com.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Doug Hagman of HagmanAndHagman.com. And, of course, Doug Hagman is the CEO of a multi-state investigative agency, and he's had experience in the past doing investigations, doing them for the government. He was explaining to us before the break the difference between entrapment and investigation and how people will use these same types of excuses in defending their clients caught on tape and illegal activities, the same things that we're seeing being used by the Democrats to explain what's going on with these Planned Parenthood tapes. Oh, they were taken out of context. We never said that they were heavily edited or we were entrapped. And so I'm going to have him explain to you one more time real quickly, because I think it's very important for the public to understand the difference between entrapment and a sting operation of a known criminal organization. So we'll revisit that. And then he was just beginning to talk about the connection with the satanic with these videos and what we have now learned about that. So we're going to go back to that. Real briefly before we do, I just want to let you know and remind you again that we have free shipping on everything at InfoWarsLife.com. We've extended that for one more week. And one of the products that we sell there, Oxy Powder, something you ought to take a look at. It is scientifically formulated to gently cleanse your colon. It doesn't require time off from work. It's all natural. Oxygen Colon Cleanser. It's available through InfoWarsLife.com. Again, that's Oxy Powder. Let me read you one of the testimonials, because we have a lot of testimonials about all of our products. Here's one about Oxy Powder. This is from Milford in Colorado, Aurora, Colorado. It says, Oxy Powder helps me keep my intestines clean and digestion in line. I started taking Oxy Powder a year ago. I've lost 60 pounds. I take 6 pills at night with water about 4 hours after my last meal of the day. I also eat well, count my calories, but Oxy Powder has definitely been an invaluable resource in my personal quest towards healthy weight and lifestyle. I now look and feel amazing. Again, go to InfoWarsLife.com, look at the products there, look at the reviews and see if the products are, which ones are right for your health, your condition. You can be helped with that by those reviews that we keep online. That's why we have them there. Again, everything at InfoWarsLife.com is free shipping through this week. We've extended that for one more week as a thank you to those of you who support our operation. Let's go back to Doug Hagman now. And Doug, let's just repeat real quickly what you said, because you gave us a legal version of entrapment. You've done this in conjunction with the FBI for real criminals. And it's very important, you know, as an investigator, what needs to be done and what's going to hold up in court and what's not going to hold up in court. You pointed out that they always use the excuse this was taken out of context. They heavily edited this, or they say entrapment. Tell us again the difference between entrapment and something where they're investigating a known criminal organization presenting themselves in there in a false pretext, but something where they're investigating a known criminal activity.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I'm not an attorney. I'm an investigator by profession. And the bottom line is this. Entrapment would entail or would necessitate someone of the government or a law enforcement official going into, I don't know, a business, let's say a pizza shop owner, and out of the blue, looking at the owner and saying, look, I want you to build me a bomb, or I want you to here, I want you to traffic in some drugs here. And something that the pizza shop owner would not normally do, or the person would not normally do, it's not within his realm of business. And then keep harassing the business owner to do that. That's entrapment. I mean, clear and simple. But here you've got an operation, already existing operation, that is dealing in the trafficking of human body parts. And I want to really drive that home. This is what they're doing. The covert operatives going in are not doing, are not asking anything, asking these people to do anything outside of what they're already doing. And as a matter of fact, they're not asking them to do anything, period. All of every tape I've seen, every video I've seen, is merely inquiries as to price, haggling over price for...
Exactly. We've already established what they are. We're just haggling over the price, precisely. And you know, this video that's come out today is not just baby body parts. It's an entire bodies of babies that they're offering out there. And when we see these videos in the past, they say, well, this is the way we've done it in the past with other organizations. That's not entrapment. That's showing a pattern of behavior. And we saw in the very first video, I think it was in the second video, it was the Lamborghini lady. She was talking about how they had this one organization come in. She says, well, this lady comes in, she goes through everything, she cuts it up, she takes the parts that she needs. We don't have to do anything. It's very profitable. And that's the only exclusion that they have under the law, is that they can get compensated for some things that they might do associated with it. But she makes it clear they weren't doing anything. They were just getting the money, just selling the parts.
Yeah, yes. And you know, in later term abortions, and I use that word, for example, the difference between murder, which is obviously against the law, and an abortion is about 3 inches. Mm-hmm. What they're doing is they're the mechanics of it is they're flipping the baby around to present breech first, and legs come out, keeping the head inside of the woman, and as long as the head is inside, they're able to do whatever to kill the unborn child, and that protects them legally. It's just a mere 3 inches that separates a first degree murder charge with a legal process of abortion.
And they know that, and so they talk about how they, well, if you've got particular things that you want, we can make arrangements so that we reposition the baby into that breech birth position that you're talking about. So they know where the lines are drawn, and they're even talking on this video about how they can skirt around those lines.
Exactly. And I know we're kind of short on time, but one thing I wanted to touch on, too, is we have to follow the money. I think people would be surprised that once the money, you follow the money, you follow the people involved in this, the very people who are involved in Planned Parenthood, who are involved in the national abortion rights, all of these different minor organizations or smaller organizations out there, there's an incestuous involvement between them and the globalists, between them and the Gang of Eight, for example, the leaders of Congress. And as well, there is a satanic element to this that people, well, we don't talk about this in polite company, actually, right? We don't like to talk about this. But you know, the Satanic Temple in Detroit, Joe, my son, who co-hosts the show with me, was telling me about the Satanic Temple in Detroit. Well, that's that Baphomet statue that was the largest public satanic ceremony in history. They were charged $25, $75 for tickets. Mm-hmm. Well, the proceeds went to support the reproductive rights of abortion, and they collected some $32,000, I believe, so far, to fund these abortion rituals. And I say rituals because in the scheme of a satanic temple, when you start looking at who these people are, what their practices are, the satanic temple itself, TST, they are actually promoting this satanic aspect element of child sacrifice.
We've seen that here in Texas. We had the massive rallies at the state capitol when they were talking about that, and they had people out there chanting "Hail Satan." We saw it when the InfoWars reporters went to the Planned Parenthood abortion clinic here. It always seems to come up, and it's brought up by the people who are there supporting abortion.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not us. We're not saying, "Hey, you're a bunch of Satanists." No, they bring it up. They start saying that.
I mean, you guys almost knocked me off my chair when I saw that, when you had that clip of that woman "Hail Satan" and the satanic chants and what have you. It was incredible. But see, this is how overt this has become, and I think and why this is being fought so hard. And the bottom line is this: this is part of a genocidal program. It's part of eugenics. It's part of really sculpting the DNA. When we hear about, this is what Margaret Sanger was all about, and a woman that's less known, Madame Galante, who was a Marxist socialist, well, communist, I should say. She was the original champion of abortion rights back in the early 20th century. And when you start peeling back the layers, you see Galante's book, Communism and the Family. You see that this, what we're seeing right now, is an attack on the nuclear or the traditional family or the family itself. And you can see that it's a takedown of our nation through the takedown of our family, the middle class, and of course the constitutional rights of all people. People say, well, this is, you know, we're actually for constitutional rights via the Fourth Amendment. Now, that's a perversion of the Constitution. People really need to understand what's going on and who are the people who are behind it. And that's where I believe once that knowledge gets out there, there's no putting the genie back in the bottle. We need to really push that hard, in my view anyway.
Absolutely, I agree with you, Doug. And of course, we also see these pedophile rings that are being run by the most powerful elite in our country and the UK. We see American ambassadors caught up in this over and over again. It seems that these things all go hand in hand. The pedophile rings, the satanic cult worship, as Alex Jones went to Bohemian Grove and saw the sacrifice of care. I mean, the thing is basically a reenactment of a Moloch sacrifice of passing their children, sacrificing their babies for prosperity. And certainly that is subconsciously, at the very least, if it's not overt, if it's not direct, if it's not a conscious reference, it is subconsciously what they are telling people when they bring them in and say, we want to help you plan your family and so forth. Abby Johnson says, no, they're pushing abortions. And one of the ways that they do that is to tell you, you're not going to be able to afford these children. Do you realize how much money they're going to cost you over 20 years? They're selling this as a means of your own personal prosperity.
Exactly. And this fits so well into the globalist agenda. It's everything is... People need to take a number of steps back and look at the entire picture. I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about the Planned Parenthood issue to understand how important that is to the greater mechanics of the globalist issue, in particular, the homosexual agenda. There is a direct link between Planned Parenthood and what they're doing in the homosexual agenda to grant rights under the Constitution that were never there in the first place, to change the Constitution. So people need to understand the vastness and the importance and really the evil nature. No, I'm not sorry. The evil nature of what we're looking at, whether it's Planned Parenthood or whether it's this ostensible fight for equal rights when it's not for the homosexual marriage, twisting of the family and such.
Well, so I think there's an interesting case that came up today. It was reported on WND about some gays demanding irreversible harm to a Christian. And this is not a situation. This is in Kentucky. They say that it is not a question of whether or not there's going to be a Kentucky marriage license, whether or not there's going to be a same-sex marriage. This is not about who can marry who in Kentucky law. They say it's not about whether Kentucky will recognize same-sex marriage. The Kentucky governor has declared that Kentucky will. Instead, it's about forcing an individual county clerk to authorize and personally approve same-sex marriage in violation of her fundamental religious liberties. And they point out that Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito warned that same-sex marriage ruling that they just passed would be used to stamp out those, and that's his term, stamp out, those who disagree with the progressive agenda. And in this particular case, Doug, these plaintiffs sought a license from this particular clerk only after learning of her religious objections to same-sex marriage, and they refused to get a license when they could get it elsewhere. So this is about forcing you to bow to their will. It's absolute religious intolerance, and that's where I draw the line. When people cross over that line and say they're not content to do it on their own, but they're going to force this person to do this, they're going to force a baker to celebrate their marriage in violation of their religious beliefs and then get a $135,000 judgment against them. That's absolutely outrageous. That's over the line. Nobody should support that if they support individual rights.
Oh, but this is just the beginning. And Alex pointed this out, and I've heard you do the same thing. This is just the beginning. What we're witnessing here is the incremental, now exponentially rapid takedown of our religious freedoms. And you see, religious freedoms will affect our First Amendment rights, obviously, or do affect our First Amendment rights. Ultimately, there's a war against Christians. Look at who's in the White House. Look at who is really pushing this agenda from the executive level. But look at the acquiescence of the so-called conservatives in Congress. People think that in 2016 we're going to get somebody else in there. You get another thing coming. There is no, and as Steve Quayle, our good friend, says, there are no political solutions to spiritual problems. We have a massive spiritual problem in addition to a massive problem with people who have infiltrated for the last generation and a half, the last 50-plus years. We've had this massive infiltration of globalists, of communists, who are pushing a globalist agenda, or globalists pushing a communist agenda, take your pick. And part and parcel to that is the destruction of the family, destruction of our rights, the inability, shutting us up as Christians, shutting us up as conservatives or as morally, physical conservatives. And it's to take down our country from within, and they're doing a great job of it. And you know what? If we don't stand up right now, if people don't say right now, look, you're not going to force me to bake a cake. You're not going to force me to acquiesce to your perverse standards, regardless of what they are. If we don't take a stand right now, we are going to lose our country. Well, we're actually losing our country. But I agree with you, Dave, at the beginning of the segment. You said it's not too late. You know, while there's still life and breath, there's still hope. And I hope that people can take this as a rallying call, get out there and say, you know what, you're not going to push me to do this. And I don't care. You want to fine me $135,000, you can stick that where the sun don't shine. All right?
Absolutely. You know, Doug, when you said that this is going to come after our First Amendment rights, we have already seen that in a case here in Houston. In Houston, we have an openly lesbian mayor who is married to someone who is very high up, I think, head of Planned Parenthood in that area. And, of course, there were some conflict of interest charges about that, about money being passed back and forth between the Houston City Council, the Houston government, and Planned Parenthood. But then they went a little bit farther. What they did in the name of legislation for transsexuals, they tried to open up ladies' public restrooms and locker rooms to men who might claim that they were women. Now, there was pushback against this by local churches, and this is how this mayor responded. She demanded from five of these churches that they give her the sermons that they had preached about this, demanded that. So there's your attack on the First Amendment, both free speech as well as freedom of religion. It took the state Supreme Court to come in. Oh, the other thing that happened with this, Doug, was they came up, they got a signature drive set up to take back this law, and they manipulated this. The city secretary certified that enough signatures had been turned in, but the mayor and the city's attorney manipulated the results to avoid having a popular vote. So this whole thing went to the Texas Supreme Court. They said, you are either going to repeal this ordinance or you will put it up to a vote. So at least in this particular case, that has been stood down. But look at the tyranny between that. The First Amendment, both aspects of the First Amendment. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with Doug Hagman of Hagman & Hagman and a new article up on Infowars.com. Obama speaks out against organ harvesting of African albinos only. We'll be right back.
Like an angel.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Doug Hagman of HagmanandHagman.com, the CEO of a multi-state licensed investigative agency. We've been talking to him about these Planned Parenthood videos, of course, the issue that it is not out of context, it is not a sting. That is always the defense that comes up. As an investigator, he pointed that out to us. But we've also been talking about the satanic connections to it as well. And this story just broke, Doug, on Infowars.com from Mikhail Phelan. Obama speaks out against organ harvesting of African albinos. This is what he has to say. People with albinism in Africa are being killed and their body parts harvested for ritual purposes. My request to you is to raise this issue with the heads of state of African countries to bring the atrocities to an end. He called the tradition foolish. He said, it's infuriating. I have no patience for it. And then he says this, the notion that any African would discriminate against somebody because of the color of their skin after what black people around the world have gone through is crazy. Well, let's explain something to Obama. There's a far greater proportion of black babies that are aborted at Planned Parenthood than any other group. And if you want to get upset about the fact that these organs are being harvested because these people are suffering from albinism, all these babies are the same on the inside. All these babies that are being killed and chopped up and having their body parts sold for profit by Planned Parenthood are all the same on the inside. They could care less about the skin, at least we think. They certainly don't care about the color of the skin. Your comments, Doug?
Well, obviously, Obama needs the refresher in history. Look, Planned Parenthood, the entire abortion industry was built upon the eradication of blacks from the population.
Absolutely.
Okay, I mean, that's the bottom line. So for him to make a ridiculous statement like that tells me that he's either so far out of the loop historically or is so deceitful I don't know, is he believing his own lies? But the bottom line is this, you're absolutely right. We're talking about a human life here. We're not talking about an albino the tissue sample or anything like that. We're talking about a human life. And people better understand that abortion on demand, abortion is the number one killer of all the things in our nation.
Yes.
And, you know, So, but with respect to the article that you broke, and that's a very interesting article, and I certainly would urge people to really read that. Bottom line here is the organ harvesting of African albinos, as I see on your screen there, that's happening here in this country. For crying out loud, don't be naive to think that the organs that are being harvested for ceremonial, ritualistic purposes, it does happen. It's unpleasant to talk about, but you'll find documentation buried among many accounts where this does, it is proven to be the case. And when we can make some money on the unborn body parts, as they're doing right now, boy, that's even better. So
he looks at this, he strains at this little gnat because, you know, this is not to minimize this, but this is such a small number of people. As you're pointing out, the number of people aborted is the largest form of murder that we've got going on, mass murder that we've got going on right now. So he takes a very narrow segment of this and speaks out in outrage, ironically, about organ harvesting, ironically about Africans, when it is African Americans that this whole organization was set up to target.
Exactly. It's just
absolutely amazing.
And the disabled and those of a certain type of race or, you know, yeah, I get that. Boy, I'll tell you.
Well, thank you for joining us again, Doug Hagmann, and you can find him at HagmannandHagmann.com. That's it for today's broadcast. Join us tonight for the nightly news at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. And if you're not a supporter of Prison Planet TV, please support us in that operation as well. That's where I normally hang out. I'm David Knight, and that's it for our broadcast today.